He is risen. Indeed. Awesome. I'm so thankful for you guys coming and hanging out with us tonight. So we're going to get started. Tammy's going to open us up.
So I'm going to share a testimony that I heard this morning. There was a mom, I think she was in L.A., San Francisco area, and her little boy was born without knees. There was nothing there, no knees. And she prayed for him for 3 years, and there was the Bethel students went on their mission trips, and one of the students said, "Can I pray for you? Do you have an issue with your knee?" And she said, "No, I'm good, but my son doesn't have any." And she's like, "I've been praying for 3 years. I'm a believer. And God just hasn't done anything. Like, but I'm not going to give up praying for him." And so the student said, can we pray for him right now?" And she said, "Yeah, absolutely." So they prayed for him, just a real simple prayer. And they exchanged phone information, and she texted the next day and said, "I wasn't even thinking about it, and I got him in the shower to shower him, and I thought, something's different. He had knees." God, he or she had prayed for 3 years every day, and nothing was happening, and just the simple act of them praying a simple prayer, God answered this prayer. So it made me think of how many times have we prayed for something that has been spoken of over us, something we want to see happen, whether it's healing or relationships restored. How many times have we given up on that miracle that's waiting for us? What have you given up praying for? Since today's Resurrection Day, what does God want to resurrect in your life today? What does God want to resurrect in your life today? He paid the price on the cross to heal, deliver, and save. So I want to challenge us today to become believing believers again, that whatever those things that we've been holding on to that we're not seeing come to fruition, that we, once again, press in and cry out to God and not give up. Abraham didn't give up. That dude was old. But he knew, God told him that he was going to have a promise. And not once did he doubt. He believed that God was going to do exactly what he said he was going to do. And I think so many times, often God will do it, but do we really believe that God is going to do that thing? And so today I just want to encourage you guys that whatever it is, to lift that up to him again during worship and just ask him, God, make me believe again, whether it's in the supernatural or whether it's in relationship restoration, whatever it is, God, my healing, God, you said you were going to do this thing, and I'm waiting for you to do it. I expect you to do it because you said you would. So why don't we stand? And so, Father, tonight, God, we just lay all those expectations, all those things, God, that maybe we've struggled with, down at your feet tonight, God. God, have your way. Do what you will, Father. God, we expect, God, we come with expectation tonight. God, I pray that your fire would fall tonight, God. God, that we would go away changed tonight, God. God, that the way we came, God, we can't stay that way. You love us too much. So, God, we just surrender tonight. We just give every part of ourselves over to you tonight, Father. We just worship you.
Thank you.
Jesus. Holy Lord. You're the reason why we're here, Lord. You're the reason, Jesus, why we've taken this space and set it apart as a house of worship, because you're the one that we want, Lord. You're the one I desire more than anything else, more than riches, more than promotion, more than being known. It's you, Jesus. I just want you. And if that's the cry of your heart in this room tonight, just let him know. Just tell him, Jesus, I do make space. I open up the door of my heart. His presence is here. The Holy Spirit is in the room right now. Whether you carried him in as a vessel of his presence, or where two or more gathered in his name, he is here. Jesus, we acknowledge you in this place right now. We say, Holy Spirit, would you be released now upon us, that we would become aware of your manifest presence in this room. We're here, Lord, to say we love you. We're here to say we worship you. We want you. You are the desired of the nations. The nations of this world are yours. They've become your kingdom. In measure now and in fullness to come. Jesus, you are the rescuer. You are the one that can fix our lives. You are the one that can heal the broken heart. You are the one who can take hopelessness and flood the heart with dreams and hope and destiny. Thank you, Lord, that you desire intimacy with your people, not dead religion, not dead observances, not just showing up and filling a seat for an hour once a week or twice a week, but you want us to know you, to yada you. And we invite you in tonight, Lord. I want to know you. I'm just speak for yourself right now. Just tell him, this is just you and Jesus in the room right now. Just let him know, I want to know you. If that's your heart's desire, let that be the prayer of the offering of your heart right now. Jesus, I want to know you. I want to sense your presence daily. I want to hear your voice. You said that my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice, and they will not follow after a stranger. Thank you, Jesus. He is standing at the door of your heart. And that was written in Revelation chapter 3 to the church of Laodicea. Jesus told John to write down a message to the church. And part of that message, he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He's talking to Christians. See, we have the ability to close ourselves off to more of him, more of his direction, more of his leading, more of his rulership, really, when it comes down to it, because Jesus is a king. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of all kings, the king of angel armies. He is the king, and he wants to be welcome to come in to rule and reign in us. And there's always more territory. There are rooms, there are closets, there are spaces inside of our lives, our thinking. We are complex creatures. We were made in his image. He's not a simple God, and you are not simple creations. You were made in his image and in his likeness. There is so much more that we can give to him. And this is not about focusing inward tonight and trying to figure out if there's more of me that I need to offer. Maybe you have offered all that you are to him in worship tonight. That is wonderful. But the invitation, I believe, is open from the Lord right now, that you and I could invite him, that we could say, Jesus, you are Lord of my life, and I'm inviting you to come into deeper places in me. So we just say tonight, Lord, we love you. We love you, God. You're the one who first loved us. You showed your great love for us when you went to the cross. That is the extent of your great love. While we were yet sinners, while I was an ungodly sinner who hated Christians, you loved me. You loved me. And you had each one of us in this room in your heart when you decided to go forward with the will of the Father and go to the cross. Hebrews tells us it was a joy set before the Lord to go to the cross because he had you in mind. You and I are his reward. We're going to take communion in just a minute here, guys. This felt kind of like the Lord just wants to know. He doesn't want to know. Yeah, he wants to know. He wants to know your response. But he wants you to know that his heart for you is to pull you into the depths of his love. That is how good he is. He's rich in mercy and kindness. His love is unfailing. He's so good. And the scripture tells us to taste and see just how good he is. Just taste of him. We're going to have a taste of the Lord. We are here with a banquet feast of the Lord's presence. And he is a multifaceted God who has so many things in his nature that he wants to reveal to us. And if he revealed it all at once, we would probably explode. It's just my guess. Just combust. But he's gracious, and he gives us a measure at a time. And as you and I receive a revelation of his goodness, his kindness, his who he is, then that gets released to us. That becomes a part of us. Then we get to carry that part of him in us. If all you know is that God is angry, then you're going to walk around with the angry God heart, and you're going to look at people through the eyes of an angry God with judgment, with wrath. Just go hide in a corner somewhere and pray for the rapture to hurry up and come. He's good. He's so good. We're going to read a scripture, and then after I read this, I'll invite you guys to come and grab communion elements. I'll try to make it through this because I was reading this by myself today, and it messed me up. 712 years before Jesus walked on the earth, this is what Isaiah prophesied. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of deep sorrows, who was no stranger to suffering and grief. We hid our faces from him in disgust and considered him a nobody, not worthy of respect. Yet he was the one who carried our sicknesses and endured the torment of our sufferings. We viewed him as one who was being punished for something he himself had done, as one who was struck down by God and brought low. But it was because of our rebellious deeds that he was pierced, and because of our sins that he was crushed. He endured the punishment that made us completely whole. And in his wounding, we found our healing. Like wayward sheep, we have all, and that means everyone, we have all wandered astray. Each of us has turned from God's paths and chosen our own way. Even so, Yahweh laid the guilt of our every sin upon him. Now we're going to move forward 712 years. This is what our King, this is what the King of Love did for you and me. He went through this for us. So he, speaking of Pontius Pilate, he released Barabbas to the people. He ordered that Jesus be beaten with a whip of leather straps embedded with metal and afterward be crucified. Then the guards took him into their military compound where a detachment of nearly 600 soldiers surrounded him. They stripped off his clothing and placed a scarlet robe on him and to make fun of him. They braided a crown of thorns and forcefully shoved it into his head. After placing a reed staff in his right hand, they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And then they spat on his face and took the reed staff from his hand and hit him repeatedly on his head, driving the crown of thorns deeper. And when they finished ridiculing him, they took off the scarlet robe and put his own clothes back on him and led him away to be crucified. They brought Jesus to Golgotha, which means Skull Hill. And there the soldiers offered him a mild painkiller, a drink of wine mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. And then they crucified Jesus, nailing his hands and feet to the cross. The soldiers divided his clothing among themselves by rolling dice to see who would win them. And the soldiers stood there to watch what would happen and to keep guard over him. Above his head, they placed a sign that read, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, King of Israel." For 3 hours, beginning at noon, a sudden and unexpected darkness came over the earth. At 3 o'clock, Jesus shouted with a mighty voice in Aramaic, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you deserted me?" This is all for love. Jesus knew that his mission was accomplished. And to fulfill the scripture, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of sour wine was sitting nearby, so they soaked a sponge with it and put it on a stalk of hyssop and raised it to his lips. When he had sipped the sour wine, he said, "It is finished, my bride." And then he bowed his head and surrendered his spirit to God. Excuse my sniffing, guys. The writer of the Passion Translation added in here, "my bride," because when Jesus cried out on the cross, "It is finished," the Aramaic he cried out was tetelestai, which means multiple things. It means debt paid in full, and it also could mean the payment that is provided for a bride. So in other words, when he said "it is finished," his payment for us, his bride, was fulfilled. And he gave up his spirit. I'm going to invite you guys to go ahead and come up right now. And grab your choice of grape juice or wine. And we'll take it back to your seat. And we'll take communion together. I'm a guy that has never actually watched the full Passion of the Christ. But when I read that scripture, and I've read it in the past, and when I see in my mind my king getting hit on the head over and over, being punched in the face, his beard ripped out, and then ultimately being nailed to the cross, I don't pray like you guys get wrecked over things, but that if there's anything that you're going to get wrecked over, that it would be a revelation of what Jesus did for you. Like, that's personal. It's not just for everyone else. It's actually for you. He did it for you because he wants you to be reconciled to the Father. He wants you to come to him in a relationship and be able to experience fullness of life. As a church, we believe that there is definitely a power in taking communion, that this is more than just a token or a symbol. But when Jesus said, "Take the cup, this is my blood, eat this bread, this is my body," that is what we are doing. That is what we are partaking of. We are receiving Jesus. We are receiving his sacrifice of atonement for us. And there's healing. There's healing in remembering the sacrifice that he made. There is life that can be imparted to us as we remember. So I want you guys to take a minute. This is really important. I want you just to close your eyes and ask the Lord right now. And you can say this out loud. Jesus, is there anyone I need to forgive? If anybody comes to mind, I want you to begin now. If it's multiple people, I want you to begin now. You don't have to say them by name, especially if they're sitting next to you. But hopefully that's not the case, but if so. Or you can name them by name if you're comfortable with that. But just begin to say, Jesus, I forgive this person. I forgive them. I let them go. I choose to forgive. Though I might still feel the pain of the offense, I choose to forgive. Jesus, just as you have forgiven me, so I forgive them. And we bless these people. We bless those that we have had an offense with. We bless them, we don't curse them. And we ask you, God, that you would draw them into such an explosive, wonderful relationship with you to experience the abundance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name. So I want you guys to just say this out with me. Jesus, you are the bread of my life. You sustain and nourish me every single day. You are my life, my hope, and my healing. Now let's go ahead and lift up the bread. And just declare this with me. I hold the bread in my hands, your body, and I take it, remembering how you were wounded for my transgression, crushed for my sins. Go ahead and lift up the cup. I like to lift up the bread and the cup before the Lord and make these declarations, because this is an interactive time with him. This is us pulling on heaven for what Jesus paid for. Let's declare this together. I take the cup, your blood, as I proclaim who you are to me. Your blood has changed everything. Now I'm going to ask you guys to stand up. We're going to make one more declaration. And then we're going to go back into a short time of worship. So let's declare this together. Today, I once again align myself with your resurrection power. I declare that my life will reveal your transformation, grace, and victory to the world. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, we thank you for your broken body. We thank you for your poured out blood. We thank you that there is healing through the cross. Just declare this with me together. By your stripes, I am healed. Jesus, by your stripes, we are healed. We thank you for freedom, for deliverance, for reconciliation through the cross. And we worship you, Lord. We thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Let's just go ahead and just give him more of our worship. This is really what it comes down to. There's not much of a message tonight. This is about you and I just loving on the Lord and drawing close to him. And as we do that, he does work inside of us that we can't even see. So let's just lift up our thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's good news. That's a good song. We could just sing that about five more times and call it a night. I don't know if you can tell, but we love to worship Jesus in this house. I could care less if I get to a preach or not anymore. Maybe back in the old days, I was eager to get the word in, but, you know, we get the word in here and there. As Legacy City Church, as a house, we value extremely the prophetic. We believe that all Christians can hear the voice of God, that he speaks in more than just words. In fact, his number one language is not English, just to make sure you know that. But sometimes he will speak to you through scripture. Sometimes you'll hear his voice, the still small voice. Sometimes he speaks through pictures. Some people get like motion pictures, vivid pictures, like a motion reel. Sometimes people feel like they've stepped into the Holy of Holies and they've seen and encountered things in the presence of God. So we believe that in worship that some of you, maybe most of you, I don't know, we're hearing and sensing the Lord showing you things. So we're going to go ahead and open that up right now. So if you have something that will encourage us to edify the group here, I'm going to invite you to come up now and share that. The awkward silence. If not, that's okay. If not, that's okay. Tammy?
Yeah, I don't know who this is for, but I feel like somebody has laid down a dream. And God's saying it's time to pick it back up. Then it might have been a season that it needed to get laid down, but now it's time to pick up that dream again and truly believe that that's what he's given you. So whoever that's for, just take that and take it. So
there's two things I want to do. And just so you guys know, it felt like a Good Friday service up to this point because all we focused on was the cross. We're going to get to the other half of the story, and it's not going to take very long, just to encourage some of you who might be tired or hungry. It's funny how I look at two different people that's a possibility. But with God, all things are possible. But we're going to hear about the resurrection and the importance of it. But before we get into that, I want to call out the Fitzhugh family. So if Lancer, Julia, Austin, Landon, Clayton, and Grace, if the five of you, the fabulous, and well, yes, Emily's a Fitzhugh, but okay, Emily and Emily too, because the two of you are one now. Don't be shocked. I was focused on just, so we've known you guys since you were the oldest. Clayton was just a baby, like before Clayton was born, actually. It's a long time. Would you guys be okay to stand up just for a second? So I just want everyone else in the room to see these people. I want you to just stretch your hands out towards them. I just want to prophesy the blessing of God over you guys. I declare the blessing of God over this family. You are a powerful tribe, the Fits You family. You children are arrows, mighty arrows that have been placed in the hands of a powerful mother and father of the kingdom. God looks at you, future, present. The past is gone. The old is gone. The new has come. Right now, God is highlighting you, and he is calling you forward into all that he has for you, the abundance of the kingdom. But you four kids, you are mighty arrows, sharp arrows in the hands of a warrior king and queen in this room. And we just want to bless you guys. And Emily, of course, is included in this now through marriage, and not just through marriage. It's not a piece of paper, but through their blessed union and the Holy Spirit making the two of them one. And we just bless that marriage and the family name of the Fitzhughes. We bless your family name. We bless your destiny. We bless your dreams, your future, all of the things. And if there's anything that feels like it's just heavy on you, God is lifting that stuff off. He's breaking those things off. Because his destiny for you, his will for you, is greater than anything that you could do to try to mess it up. We can do a lot of things to try to mess up the will of God in our lives. But the Bible tells us that he's faithful and true, and he who began a good work in the Fitzhugh family is going to bring it to completion. In Jesus' name. So if you receive it, say, I receive it, and then you can sit back down. Sorry, guys, I just had to call you out. And then I feel like there's something for Grace, not the Grace that we know, but the Grace that we don't know. You don't have to stand up. And if you want to, you can. I've heard people. Okay. I just feel like, so oftentimes God will just highlight something about a name. And your name, obviously, Grace, is something that's really important to us in life. But your name is unique, and God destined you to carry that name because you are a carrier of grace. As a Christian girl, as a young woman who I know has grown up in a house receiving bucket loads and downloads of kingdom, Bible, godly teaching and training, those things have been instilled inside of you. What does the Bible say? Train up a child in the way they should go, and in the end, they will not depart from it. God has released so much treasure inside of you, Grace. And I believe that your name is going to release the grace that you carry. Grace is not just to forgive us when we've messed up. You know, we need that kind of grace. We need that, you know, grace when we don't deserve God's forgiveness, but he comes in his grace. But grace is also the operational power of God. The operational power of God. So I believe the Lord wants you to know before you leave this place tonight or as you go out of here that he says over you, you were destined to carry my operational power, to release the treasure that you carry in this dark and broken world that needs the light of Jesus. So I want to bless you with that. And I also just, I don't know if you're seeing anything in the spirit on her, but I just sense there's like massive creativity. Like you go into a place and you already try to figure out how to reorganize the room and rearrange things because God has gifted you with an ability to create and make things look better. Is that true? You feel like that's you? Or are you just like a hoarder and your place is a kind of? Okay. Well, anyway, depends on the room. So any space that you have dominion over, you put your golden touch to it. There you go. So I just feel like that's a gift. That is a gift. And God has destined you to go into places and to bring the gift that you carry, to bring things into order, to bring the creative touch of heaven, because heaven is in you, and to release grace. So we just bless you, and we thank you for coming and being brave to show up in this place where there's just strangers. Anything? We are going to read a few scriptures, And I'm going to try not to do too much preaching on them, but it's important for us. Without the resurrection of Jesus, the cross was, it's pointless. If Jesus just died on the cross and stayed in a grave and we could go travel to Jerusalem and visit the tomb of Jesus where his body would have been, we would still be trapped in our sins. It was required that Jesus not only went to the cross to make atonement for us, but that he would be killed, he would be crucified, dead, and buried, and he would rise again, proving that he is indeed the Son of the living God. Let's look at some scriptures. You want to stay up here? Okay. So this is what Paul said. For I have shared with you what I have received and what is of utmost importance. Just say utmost importance. That's how I wake you guys up. You got to say it. Did you say it? Okay, good. So quiet over there in the corner. Of utmost importance. So this is Paul stressing. This is really super important. There's a lot of important things, but this is of utmost importance. The Messiah died for our sins, fulfilling the prophecies of the scriptures. He was buried in a tomb and was raised from the dead after 3 days, as foretold in the scriptures. Then he appeared to Peter the rock and to the 12 apostles. And if you read on, it says, and then to about 500 others who are still alive at the time Paul wrote this. So Jesus is indeed risen from the dead. He is not dead. He is alive. And you and I can know him now in this here and now. Let's go on here. Verses 12 through 14. The message we preach is Christ, who has been raised from the dead. So how could any of you possibly say there's no resurrection of the dead? If there's no such thing as a resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, all of our preaching has been for nothing and your faith is useless. I don't need you to say yes, but I'm just going to ask you for your own self to contemplate in your mind, do you truly believe that Jesus is alive and was risen from the dead? That after he went to the cross, he was buried, and on the third day, he actually came back to life, and he is alive right now. I'll ask myself, do I truly believe that? Because this is important to your salvation. Paul says in Romans that those who get saved, they have to believe in their heart. They confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and they believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead. You see, if we just believe in our heart that God didn't raise him, he's just a dead Messiah, but we confess him, I think there's half of it we're missing. If we just stop with Good Friday and don't go on to Easter resurrection, he is risen indeed, Sunday, we're missing the other half of the story. Because his resurrection is your resurrection. Him being raised from the dead, the Bible says he is the firstborn from among the dead. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses will twist that and try to make you think, well, see, Jesus was not God. You know, he was created. That's not true. The Bible tells us clearly that he is Creator God. Just read John 1. But where was I going with that? That's a good question. Where was I going with that? I don't know. He is Creator God, and he is indeed risen from the dead, and he has resurrection power through the Holy Spirit that he's releasing, that he wants to give to you and me as a gift. It's called the gift of the Father. Anybody in here not like gifts? Raise your hand. Okay, so that means all of you like gifts. You like getting gifts. And God, who is our Father above everything else. Can I just say one thing? If I can have full-on attention for one point in this room tonight that you could take home with you, that before anything else, God wants for him to be to you your Father. You're not a worm that barely made it into heaven if it wasn't for the grace of God. I mean, it's true if it wasn't for the grace of God. But you're not just a sinner saved by grace. You're not just a dirty scumbag that God, you know, barely tolerates. Jesus said, I came to reveal the Father. And he said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and nobody can come to the Father except through me. And when he taught us how to pray, what did he say? Our Father. And the Spirit of God that goes into a Christian, when you believe in Jesus, when you put your faith in Jesus, he's the Spirit of sonship. The Bible says he enables you and I to cry out to God, Abba, Father. Abba, that's like an intimate word, almost like daddy. Like these little kids love their daddy, and they love their mommy too. But there's something about Father, or Father. Father God. He's Creator God, and he fathered us into this world. He knit us together in our mother's wombs, and he birthed us into this world, and he blessed us with destiny and dreams and all kinds of things in his heart for each one of us in our unique design. So before anything else, he wants you to know him as Father. And you can only come to know the Father by getting deeply intimate and know Jesus, because Jesus is the way. Jesus is the door. His broken body is the place where we access the heavenly realm. Did I read this up here? Okay. So that was my preach. Now I'm going to just read scriptures, because I know that you guys are really hungry for the desserts that are in the fridge, and we got some really good desserts tonight. It's Easter. I didn't get to have an Easter dinner. Neither did my family. So, did you guys get Easter dinner? Oh, Judy did. Okay. Moreover, if the dead are not raised, that would mean that we are false witnesses who are misrepresenting God. And that would mean that we have preached a lie, stating that God raised him from the dead, if he, in reality, he didn't. If the dead aren't raised up, that would mean that Christ has not been raised up either. And if Christ is not alive, you are still lost in your sins, and your faith is a fantasy. See how important it is that we know and believe that Jesus is alive? Otherwise, our faith is a fantasy, and we're lost in our sins. Ephesians 2:6 says, he raised us up with Christ, and the Christ, the exalted one, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm. I don't know if you ever got the revelation of this truth, but this is powerful. For we are now co-seated as one with Christ. You are bi-locational. Just turn to your neighbor and say, you're bi-locational. You guys are fun. It's my only way to kind of wake you up a little bit. I got to get you to say something. You are seated in heaven right now with Christ. You have become one with Jesus by the Holy Spirit, and you are actually seated in the heavenly realm. I don't think it's far up, way up, a billion miles up into outer space. I think the realm of heaven is right here within reach. It's another dimension that we have not yet been able to comprehend, but we're tasting of it. We're pulling from the kingdom. We are stepping in. We're leaning into the realm of heaven, and we're receiving the life and the gifts and the abundance of the heavenly realm through Jesus, all because he opened it up for us. One more preach. Ephesians 1:3 says, praise be to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing. Or he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. I got it backwards. So we get to be thankful because he's already blessed us with access to everything in the heavenly realm. And I don't know what all is in the heavenly realm, but I believe it's good stuff. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, pray your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth, just as it is in heaven. A couple more scriptures and we're done. Colossians 3:1-2. So this is about you and me. When Jesus rose from the dead, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. So happy Resurrection Sunday. You are alive and you've been resurrected with Christ. That's why we are to yearn, not yarn, Tammy. We are to yearn, sorry, it's an inside joke. She's the crochet queen of the house. We are to yearn for all that is above, for that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. I don't know about you guys, But I can fall into that. I get distracted by the things of the natural realm. But the Bible is encouraging us to fix our minds on things of the spirit, things of the spiritual realm. Think about it. When you go shop for a car or a motorcycle or whatever, a house or something, a certain item, then all of a sudden you start seeing that car on the road all the time because you've been meditating on it, you've been thinking about it, you've been searching it and seeking it. As you give your attention to the things of heaven, you're going to start seeing it manifest more and more. As you turn your awareness towards the invisible realm, you're going to get realities of the invisible breaking in, and you're going to become more aware that there is more to this world than just what we see in front of us. In fact, this realm that we walk in and look in right now, that we can touch and taste and feel, was created by the invisible realm. So that realm is more real than this. But we're stuck here, and God is inviting us to step in and experience through the Holy Spirit what He has for us. This is the end. I was going to have you guys read this together with me. So why don't we close with this? Why don't we all stand up and read this? Do you guys want to read some scripture?
Yes.
You okay with that? If you can stand, go ahead. If not, just stay cozy. So warm up your vocal cords. Here we go. Hebrews 10, and there's two slides here. So the first two verses right now. And now, brothers and sisters in God's family, because of the blood of Jesus. Sorry. Can I start that over? And now we are brothers and sisters. Nice to meet you, brother, sister. In God's family because of the blood of Jesus. And He welcomes us to come into the most holy sanctuary in the heavenly realm, boldly and without hesitation. For He has dedicated a new life-giving way for us to approach God. For just as the veil was torn in two, Jesus' body was torn open to give us free and fresh access to Him. That is good news. Free and fresh access, 24/7. You never have a reason to not run into the presence of God to receive from Him His goodness, His kindness, to brush you off when you fall down, when you make a mistake and you cuss somebody out on the freeway, even though they can't hear you. I'm not looking at anybody. Whatever it is that you're going through, it never has to be a reason to not come running back to God and just to pour out your heart before Him, because He's a dad, He's a father, and He loves you because you're His son, you're His daughter. And here's the second two verses together. And since we now have a magnificent high priest to welcome us into God's house, we come closer to God and approach Him with an open heart, fully convinced that nothing will keep us at a distance from Him. For our hearts have been sprinkled with blood to remove impurity, and we have been freed from an accusing conscience. Now we are clean, unstained, and presentable to God inside and out. Thank you, Jesus. God, we thank you for the power of your blood that cleanses us, that removes all impurity, that makes us holy, that the application of your blood on our lives has declared, it was like a declaration from heaven saying, you have been made holy through the blood of the Lamb. You have been set apart. You are my possession now. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your resurrection. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you release life into us, resurrection power. And we thank you that you have given us access to step into the heavenly realm and to worship Jesus, to worship the Father, to worship you, Holy Spirit. So God, we close this night out by giving you thanks and just blessing everyone in this room. We just declare blessing that the presence of God would rest heavily on you in the days ahead, in this week ahead, that you would know His goodness, kindness, and favor, His tangible presence, that He would even invade your dreams with dreams from His kingdom. God, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name.